Okay, people, so we are back with our Fantasia International Film Festival coverage, and today we are looking at a new documentary, and then we sit down with the writer and director of that joint. So people, let's get it popping. Okay, so people, we're going to start off with a look at this new documentary, which is called Touch Kink. Well, people, this is interesting, right? I got hit up about this new documentary called Touch Kink. And yeah, I had no clue. What, you know what I mean? Because look, there's been so many different things. I think Louis Theroux did one, you know, and everyone went insane for those 50 Shades stuff. And you know, there's always these things touching on kink, but it is hard to get an actual honest breakdown of what this shit is, right? So yeah, I was interested to check this out. Okay, so it is written, directed, and produced by Todd Max Carey. It's executive produced by Angie Rountree, Andreas Velu and Cole Kerr. Cinematography is Ari Van Dam. We have got Todd. He also edits the piece as well, right? With some help from Isabel Brenu. Who else do we have? Okay, so we got the BDSM consultant and technical advisor, who was Simone Justice. Music was from Shoshana Samol, aka Zisk. So we had researchers, Todd. There's Katrina, Chris Begerton, Simone Justice, and Jinx Martell. Okay, so the film follows January Sarif, Slave Robin, Mistress Evelyn, and Grace. Right, we also hear from Annie Bear, Brian Ernst, aka Cupcake, Colin Rountree, Disciple, Ernst Green, Fat Mike, Goddess Venus, Goddess Phoenix, Mistress Absolute, Mistress Izada Sin, Mistress Precious, Mistress Vinyl Queen, Natalie, Simone Justice, and Soma Snake Oil. So yeah, that's who's in it. Now, the film is an intimate look into the world of BDSM and fetishism through the eyes of four people. Grace, an all-American soccer mom, learns to awaken the goddess inside her as she makes her nervous first foray into the realm of being a dominatrix. There's Mistress Evelyn, a British dominatrix on a cultural mission, is ousted to the tabloid press and harassed by the British establishment. There's Robin, the fearless kinkster and good old boy from Texas, who just so happens to be a slave and property of a dominatrix. and January Sarif, the mercurial muse, guide and inspiration behind understanding the secret power that all women possess, but few truly realize is revealed to those brave enough to touch kink. So yeah, there you go, people. There you go. So yeah, it's interesting. It's definitely interesting. And I think it's always good to hear from a variety of voices, right? Because there's one part in the documentary, and I forget who it is, who said it, which bugs me. But like she said, there's this misconception that people who are traumatized, abused, get into kink, right? And kink is, it might have been a male that said it, I forget. But yeah, saying that the scene is just full of people who are dealing with trauma, right? That's not true, because a lot of people dealing with trauma, everyone dealing with trauma. It was an absolute, one of these things, right? People that deal with trauma would shy away from this. So no, the scene is full of people who are all consensual and happy and blah, 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 which we know is a lie, right? We know it's a lie, just because, right, we know the porn industry. Not everyone, again, not everyone has been abused or, you know, gone through shit, but a lot have. And a lot have talked about that, right? It's just in life with everything. When you look at a lot of, you know, fighters, mixed martial artists, right? Got bullied. Bullying led them to get into martial arts. Not everyone, but it's happened to a lot. Right, so to make an absolute statement can be a little crazy, but then later on, you know, and I think it was Ernst Green, even I just pushed two people together. I think it was Ernst Green who said that, yeah, no, there are people in the scene who, you know, are dealing with trauma, who have been abused in the past. And also talking about how the scene has grown, right? I think he said, like, from 65 people, and he's talking from, like, I think he's in LA, right? Talking about 65 people in a room to now thousands in nightclubs every weekend, right? So with that, you have it's harder to know everyone, right? And he said that you have people coming in now with other intentions, right? Other, like, who their form of consent is completely different to what it should be, right? And that's the thing, as things grow, things change. But it's just, you know, it just shows that point that you don't know. You can't make an absolute statement like everyone into this is this, because you just don't know, right? And there are liars, there are nefarious people. So it's looking at all of this. One thing that was really kind of amusing and funny about this was Mistress Evelyn, right? Because she was in Orpington. I grew up in Orpington. That whole situation was long after I'd moved, but I remember people talking about it and being like, oh yeah, they found this, like I mean, there were a few plots. I remember in the high street, right, there was a florist, and above the florist, that was a knocking shop, right? There was a few spots in Orpington that people didn't know about, and then suddenly, yo, all of this breaks. But yeah, I remember. So we get her point of view, which again, interesting, right? I thought it was a little crazy, some of the things she was saying, especially because, you know, it's just like, oh, I can't believe people didn't accept. And I'm just like, yo, not everyone has to, right? Firstly, with all of this, because I think it was Cupcake who was talking, and he was just like, oh, you know, my mum, she grew up around gay people, so I thought she'd understand, but she didn't. And I don't, she's causing a wedge between us because, you know, I want her to understand it. And I'm just like, but she doesn't have to. This is the thing. She doesn't have to, right? You can just chill and talk about whatever, whatever, and just be like, I, you know, this weekend, I'm just doing my thing. Just leave it at that. Not everyone needs to know your business. You feel me? Not everyone has to understand. It's like, you know, going to someone that only likes country music and being like, yo, you should listen to the new Kendrick Lamar. Yo, it is fire. It's so fucking good. And they're like, no, I don't want to. And be like, no, you need to listen to this. And be like, it's not my thing. No, you need to listen. Like, why are you trying to push something on someone that doesn't like it? Right? Just, you don't have to talk about music. You're both enjoying a whole heap of other things together. So talk about those things. Right? So there was, that did seem to be a thing. Right? A lot of the people were just like, this is my life. Right? Everything about it is what I do. I go on a kink holiday. I go on, you know, and it's just like, okay, that's fine, but I kind of feel it's probably healthier to have different pursuits. Like, so something isn't all consuming even, right? Just because, what if you then just get to a point and you're like, actually, I don't think I want to do this anymore. Now, all your friends are part of that, right? So you've cut loose everyone else who wasn't into kink, who wasn't part of that scene. Now, where do you go, right? You have no other friends. That was your friends, and you're, you know, let's say 60, 50, whatever it is. It's harder to make friends at an older age. So what are you going to do? You know? But yeah, no, it's fascinating, especially when Todd brings in his friend Grace to have this other look, right? So we get all of this. So I would say this was interesting. I did think that it, because with things like this, right, not everyone would want to talk on camera. You know what I mean? So the people that will talk on camera, that's a certain type of person. You know, so you're never really going to get a true representation, because to have the people really break things down, talk about things, you know what I mean? That's never going to happen, right? Because the type of person that is going to go on camera and talk about this thing, their viewpoint is completely different, right? And they're going to be closed off to talking about maybe the negatives. Because everyone's talking about, oh yeah, no, these people are submissive and we treat them like this and blah, blah, blah. And I think it was Evelyn. right, talking like this, going, I want to open a community and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, okay, but what if someone snaps one day, right? What are the safeguards for that? Because, right, you might have these dudes who are just like, oh yeah, you can do whatever you want to me. But if one of those dudes is then like, actually, nah. Or you hit me too hard. I said stop. And you didn't. You hit me two more times before you stop. If that person snaps, what happens? Because they could essentially beat the fuck out of you. Right? And it would have been interesting to hear about the instances where that may have happened. Because, you know, you can have 99% of people who are chill and cool. There's still going to be that 1% who are fuckers. You know what I mean? So there is that. There is that. The music was a bit jarring and grating, just because I'm more interested in hearing people talk. I don't need this musical bed underneath playing. Right? It just becomes more of a distraction for me. You know? That may just be me, people. That may just be me. But yeah, no, I do think Touch Kink is it's an interesting look at what this is, right? And the, as I said, you know, 50 Shades came out and everyone was reading it and, you know, just, and the thing is, I talked to people that did read it and they're like, oh, yeah, it's not, like, it's badly written. It's badly written. It's not that crazy. You know what I mean? This was like BDSM for beginners shit, right? So, but I think that colors the perception of what something is. So it's interesting getting a different look, right, and hearing from these different people on why, right, why they want to come into it. Because we heard from the dominatrixes, the submissives, right, just all of these different people. So that's interesting. I don't know if it gives you a completely full picture of what this is, but it gives you at least a perspective. You know, gives you at least a perspective of this. So that's interesting, right? It's it's having its world premiere at Fantasia. So, you know, that is pretty big, right? So if you want to see it, people, you will be able to check it out, right, on Sunday, even the 30th of July. All the information, ticket link and whatnot is on the website, so be sure to go check that out. You know, Todd's details, you know, all of that jazz, people. So yeah, go check it out. And especially if you're curious, right? It's an interesting documentary, but I guess if you're curious in that world, it will give you a little bit of insight as well. So there you go. Touch Kink, people. Well, no, it's just Touch Kink. I added the people. All right. Touch Kink. Right. Now we've done that, we sit down with the writer, director, the man behind it all, right? So, people, here is Todd Max Carey.
I see it.
Okay, people. So, I am joined by Todd Max Carey, who is the writer, director, I think you edited it. I mean, you wore a lot of hats with this. But yes, we're here to talk about Touch Kink, your new documentary. So, Todd, thank you very much for stopping by. I really appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me. Appreciate the opportunity to chat.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is interesting, right? Because I think there's, you know, you hear certain words a lot, right? So you hear kink's been thrown around, and there's been different shows that are like, you know, have characters, or, you know, there was a Netflix series, I think it was called Bonding or something like that, about a dominatrix.
And,
yeah, so, but there's not a lot that gives you an actual kind of breakdown of what it is, you know, a look at, you know, the people who are part of that community and the different aspects of it and all of that. So, yeah, what was it that kind of brought you to putting all of this together?
Well, it's funny, before we started recording, we were talking about how sometimes it's just necessary to just start, you know, do something. And a number of years ago, I met a lovely lady that, you know, over the space of the conversation, revealed to me that she was a dominatrix. And, you know, my ears peaked up a little bit, because as a lot of people may, it's a bit of a caricature, a little bit of a, everyone thinks they know what this person's going to be like. And it was quite a shock, because this was one of the sweetest, nicest person I'd ever met. I thought maybe kindergarten teacher or something like this. And then I realized, you know, and she explained more and more, and very patiently explained it to me, and got sort of lamented the fact of all the misconceptions people have, that a lot of people in the kink realm are sort of looked upon as less than or other or weird or strange. And she was none of those things. In fact, as I said, she could have been a kindergarten teacher. And it was fascinating to me that I caught myself having those same misconceptions. You know, it's I guess it's an old story. People are afraid of people or things they don't understand. And sometimes when they understand them, they should be afraid of them. Most of the time, it's just intolerance. It's misunderstanding. It's cliches. You know, there's bad people, whether they're used car salesmen or politicians, probably more on politicians on my point. But anyway, you know, so it just story became fast. So we decided that night after 8 hours that we're going to make a documentary about the misconceptions and the myths that people had. And then the film sort of evolved from that, because that was interesting. And I think we covered that fairly well. And as I got into it, I actually went to corners of that community that I wouldn't normally go to, and explored things that, you know, weren't normally part of it. And I started finding this sort of common denominator through it. And it really, I wanted to share that with people, to let them understand. I actually think that not only is kink not a bad thing, it's actually preferred, not kink per se, but the ethics, the methodology behind it, of simply, hey, I'm not going to make any assumptions about your gender or anything. I'm going to ask you, hey, are you a he or she? Are you a, how do you want to be addressed? The kind, you know, just starting from tabula rasa with people and getting to know them. And it just seemed like a really good message for the general public as well, is that no matter what you do, whether it's kink or anything else, just, you know, start off with an open mind, talk to that person, get to understand what they're about, what they like, and see if you can't come to some sort of agreement, whether that's to play something kinky or just to go, okay, we'll agree to disagree on politics, you know, whatever, but just take that time and get to know people. And I just thought that was such a beautiful thing. And it was a bit unexpected. So the documentary became more about that.
Okay. I mean, what was your kind of understanding of kink before you started this?
I think my understanding was that, you know, some people, you know, like to be spanked. And I had known that, you know, more in a classical sort of somewhat heteronormative sense, that men, you know, often were dominant and women often like to be submissive, but, you know, you had to, you know, have a few conversations, but that was kind of it. And then I was surprised to see how many men actually like to be submissive as well, and how many people actually don't even think about gender at all. Actually, it's not really about gender. I mean, a lot of these conversations we're having now about gender politics and stuff are kind of less relevant for the kink community, because sometimes it's, I don't really care, or they don't really care necessarily about a gender. It's the fetish. It's a foot. It's a butt. It's a, you know, you know, and that's the focus of their attention. So it's sort of in some cases, a post-gender conversation. So it was just such a fascinating world. And, you know, I really only scratched the surface. I mean, there's so much material, so much. I mean, everybody has their own thing, and it's sort of beautiful too.
Now, do you think, like, some of the misconception, because when you think about kink, right, what we've been shown on TV a lot of time is, like, you know what I mean? It's not just a simple kind of, you know, someone likes feet and foot rubs. It's more of, like, furries and, you know what I mean? Like, the far end of things kind of fit, you know what I mean? Because I remember there was an episode of CSI. I was on a plane and it was just flicking through, so it's just like, all right, I'll throw that on. And they were dealing with a murder and they went to a house,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, well, where's the body? And they're like, oh, through there. We're like, where? And there's this secret room, and it was all set up like a baby's room, and so there's a big cot and there was a guy in a nappy in this cot. And then later in the episode, they ended up at a furry convention. And so it was all of that,
mm-hmm.
which is just like, you know, for someone looking in, it's just like, wait, why is someone dressed up in a nappy? And why are you dressed up in a, you know, a dog costume? Like, what, you know, rather than, you know, just people like different things, and this is this and this is that. It's kind of being thrown at the public as this quite far extreme kind of occupation, as it were.
Well, humans have a long history of trying to subjugate other humans, and one of the best ways to do that is to sort of control them, make them feel guilty about certain things, and to stretch it, you know. Sometimes people have valid points that the people, maybe the community isn't ready to hear at the point, but they express it nicely. A great example is, you know, rest in peace, Sinead O'Connor, about, you know, she did make a valid point that, you know, there was issues with the church at the time. Nobody wanted to hear it, and her career suffered. The establishments that exist tend to try to destroy in any way anybody that sort of differs. So I think, you know, in the old day there, I mean, you can go back to movies in the 50s and 60s, and they would say there was a homosexual element to the murder, you know, somehow making it seem that if you were gay, you were more likely to be a murderer. Now that's long since gone. But there's still a little bit, oh, there's a sadomasochistic, or there's a BDS, you know, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something consensual, something else. Doesn't matter how someone dressed, doesn't matter what they like, doesn't matter what their kinks are. What we're talking about is, are you doing it ethically or not? Because what we're talking about in the modern kink community is ethical behavior. You know, so it's less about that kind of sensationalist somebody wearing a nappy or something like that. That's not kink. That's just somebody trying to get some attention for their subject or trying to push back against a community. What we're talking about is doing it in a far more ethical manner. But I do think there are powers that be that do want these things to sort of to control people, make them feel guilty. I mean, I don't understand this whole, well, why people are so upset about the woke thing. Why not just celebrate the diversity? You know, people are happy and they want to present this way or learn this way or have these ideas. Great. All great. Long as, you know, we are consensual about it and we're ethical about it and we are open about it. I don't understand why there's an argument at all over any of this stuff. You know, people should be allowed to express themselves, but people want to go, oh, they're weird because they wear furries. Oh, that's weird. You know, oh, that's woke, or that's, you know, it's just such a silly thing that's going on. And I would like humans to recognize we have far more in common than we realize. We just like different things. And we should focus more on respecting each other, talking to each other, understanding each other, and genuinely, not just like, okay, you're weird because you have you like furries. I was like, I don't care. You could be a great person, you know?
So, well, I think sometimes it's the terminology that we use for things.
Sure.
You know, everything's branded in a certain way. Like BDSM, right? Because it's sadomasochism is the SM. And when you, you know, go back in time, sadomasochism was, you know, in a film, someone being tortured and that kind of thing. So then adding those words to this, it's probably not the best. It's like when you look at, you know, if you just participate in, I think the more known sexual maneuvers, let's say, that's often, you know, referenced as vanilla, right? And you think about, like, vanilla is probably not the best term, because when you break it down, there's a load of people that will do things that, you know, possibly you might go, is that vanilla? You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, there's a little element that they like. Like some people like a, you know, a finger up the bum, right? You know what I mean? But they don't want to be pegged necessarily, but they enjoy a finger up the bum. So that, you wouldn't say that's straight vanilla, but it's just, it's a spectrum of things. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, I think we throw these terms around, probably not the best to be able to create an environment where we just embrace everything, because everyone's then in these camps and it's just like, well, I mean, I like this, so I must be in that camp. And, oh, well, I don't like that. You know, I have no interest in that. When it's just like, I try and look at these things like with music and literature and other stuff, right? There's a certain things I don't like, I don't enjoy, but I don't really care if you do. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, hey, you might like the torture. I call it torture porn, horror. You know, like the Saw films, and you know where they're like, doing all that crazy stuff to people. That's not necessarily my thing, but I'm not gonna be like, God, Todd, I cannot talk to you because you like Saw. It's just like we don't talk about that. We talk about the other things we both enjoy and share an interest in. And I think that's what it should be, you know?
And I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that that's the kind of attitude that I hope people have, or more people have, because in the end, it's not about any given kink or any given aspect of something you may find of interest. It's always about the same thing. Are you doing this in a way that's compassionate? Are you doing this in a way that's respectful? Are you doing it in a way that's consensual? And are you making sure that person is okay after? It's almost like it's a little bit geeky, really. It's almost like the scientific approach to whatever. I've always wanted to, you know, wear a teapot on my head and do this, okay? I don't know how I feel about it. And then do this thing with a teapot on my head. And at the end of it, like, yeah, I felt weird about the teapot. I don't think I want to do that again. Or, oh my God, that was the best thing ever. I'm going to always have a teapot. You know, it's experimental. It allows us that safe space to try new things and be creative. And I honestly believe that diversity and creativity stem from this kind of open-mindedness. And that creativity and that diversity is going to win the future. I actually believe that. I think that's why it's starting to loosen up a little bit, because if you look at the history of the world, all the greatest things were invented by people that were more open-minded. Maybe they didn't like it, like you said, it's not my cup of tea, but they're not going to like throw them in jail for wanting to wear a teacup on their head. It's like, okay, you're weird, but you know, you're eccentric, whatever. But I mean, you look at the people that invented the modern world, and pretty much every single one of them, including Da Vinci, it was recently come out, was arrested for acts against God at one point. You know, obviously saved by the Medicis, and that was that. But name him, Alan Turing, a gay man that was living outside of, invents the computer, you know, and gets chemically castrated for his effort. You know, these kinds of beautiful minds, creative, diverse minds, think like you, and hopefully the people who see the movie, just be a little bit more open-minded. You don't have to love it. Just be a little bit more open to it. As long as people do whatever they do in a respectful, consensual manner, you know, full speed ahead.
Mm. No, definitely. Definitely. And where did you come up with the idea of structuring the documentary in the way you did? Because you broke it down into those different aspects of like a kink session, say, because I'd never heard of aftercare.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that's an interesting thing, because you just look like in the past, you see, you know, someone and they're like, oh, I go to a dominatrix. I like to be trodden on, kicked, whipped, whatever, whatever. But you never hear about the aftercare aspect of it, which then I think it adds a new level to this, right?
Well,
it's actually compassion.
Yeah. Well, the thing about aftercare that I've discovered, and it actually came from a dominatrix, actually told me once, and you don't really think about the dominatrix giving aftercare, but she'd always noticed at the end of a session where, say, it was a humiliation session and some guy had gone through this process and, you know, really gone down and really like humiliated or whatever, sort of as he's leaving the session, he would often sort of do a slight insult. And she'd let it go, because that was basically his aftercare. It was kind of like him getting ready to go back into the world. So it's there all the time. In some cases, it's far more obvious and profound where it's like cuddling. But there's two main messages for me in the film, is that kink is great if you do it, if you follow the circle. That's why the O in the thing is a circle of about, you know, lots of negotiation, lots of talk, you know, having a very positive affirmative consent, doing whatever you do, and then checking in with that person. That's what closes the circle. And to me, that's the biggest difference between abusive activities or non-abusive activities. Abuse is I do what I want to you and then and screw you.
Yeah.
You know, where you could do the exact same activity in a consensual scene, but it's a circle because you're coming back. And how was that? I know that maybe that was too rough. Was that good? Was that right for you? That's it. You know, and it was obviously negotiated and all the rest of it. So I just wanted to make sure people realize that circle. If they remember nothing else, if there's this circle, the thing that makes it okay to do this stuff is that circle of trust. You know, and if you can follow that circle of trust, you know, maybe you try it once and never do it again, or maybe you'll have a positive experience and try new things and keep experimenting. So it became very important to me to sort of make that very much part of the DNA of the movie. That, you know, you have to think about what do people remember. And I'm hoping people remember that. I'm hoping people remember trust is key, and trust and compassion, you know.
Mm-hmm. The irony of all of that is, though, like, that's a part of all things.
It is, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. It's
like,
be. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, when you meet, you know, your partner and you've been dating a while, like just the dating itself, it's just like, hey, I was thinking we could go on a hike. What do you think about that? And like, I don't normally hike, I'll give it a go. I mean, like, okay, well, just tell me when is too much and we can stop. You know what I mean? It's like when you first, you know, get intimate together, it's like, okay, is this too much pressure? Do you like to be touched here? Like, how is this? Do you like this? Like, you're asking, you asking, not everyone, but I think you should be asking questions, finding out what's pleasurable to someone, what works. Okay, is that okay? And you'd be like, oh, well, I'll try it. Be like, oh, I didn't really enjoy that. Or that didn't really bring me the pleasure I thought it would. Be like, okay, we won't do that. We'll try something different. You know what I mean? So it's just like, although it's broken down in like this environment, in the kink world, and you look at it and be like, oh, I've never seen it broke down like that. When you think about it, we do or should be doing these things in
absolutely
every aspect of life.
I didn't invent any of these things. They were reinforced by, you know, working with the kink community on this film. And the other big thing for me you know, I grew up in a generation where the rules kind of changed. There was a time where I think my father literally said, I don't know how you're supposed to deal with women anymore. I mean, like, because he grew up in a time where men are supposed to be cowboys and women are supposed to be conquered. And
yeah,
that was it. And it seemed very, and both sides of that equation seemed to more or less follow the rules, or those, that culture. But that's, it's all falling apart now, and it's a good thing, and it's all being put back together. And a lot of people are confused about, well, how am I supposed to behave? Can I never slap a woman on the bum anymore? Can I never, hey, say whatever? And I wanted to make it, everything is still on the table. All you got to do is have a few more conversations. Hey, my name is, I like this, you like this, you know, let's have a conversation. Mm. Do you like being slapped on the bum? You know, and if I get permission to slap her on the, it doesn't mean anybody else has. Well, like, you know, okay, great. She, you know, so it's, everything is still there. All you have to do is just be sure that you're, everybody's on the same page, and you're going to avoid lawsuits and all the rest of it.
Mm.
And I often find of conversations lately about how people think, oh, it's so complicated, all this talking, and oh my God, I just, you know, I just want to get laid or whatever. And seems really like, oh, it's just too much. You know, I just, you know, I want to get what I want. And I said, you don't understand. Yeah, okay, maybe there's a bit more talking, but if you're so fixated on one thing, say you just want to get laid, and that person that you really are attracted to and you've got a conversation with and you've got something and you decide that you're not going to get laid and you walk away, well, why don't you just keep that conversation? Well, what do you like? Do you like cuddles? Do you like, have you ever tried shibari? Do you like you know, watching a naughty movie and whatever, just a little bit of cuddling or something. And like, so there's instead of walking away because you don't get X, which is what you want immediately, you could be missing out on A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, you know what I mean? And the funny thing is, if you start with A and then do B, then there might be a whole bunch of other things you never even heard about that you're really going to enjoy, different kinks. And Kel surprise, you might actually end up getting X at some point. If you like someone enough to really be pushing for X, give them the time and space and have those conversations about other things other than X that might bring you together as well. And if you don't know what those other things are, start reading about kink. Because everyone's got them. You know, a lot of women, it's, you know, they want a foot massage, you know, and if you really like her that much, maybe that's a way to start building that trust and building that intimacy and getting to know each other. So I think kink, it may seem a little bit more intense at the beginning, but ultimately you're going to get to know people on a much deeper level and a much more honest level, because there's so much that people have hidden about themselves and they're embarrassed about. But kink gives you that space to say whatever you want to say, you know, however you want to be. I'm a furry by day, whatever by night, and I like to do a third thing on the weekends, you know, and that's cool, you know, and you find people that you find your community for that. So,
yeah.
Again, it all comes back to just being open and happy and experimental and not to be afraid of the world, just be consensual, just have those conversations bring the space. You know, let our society have the space for those conversations where men can. Oh, maybe I want to try my feminine side. Maybe I want to try my, you know, whatever. Give people space for that. You know, we grew up, I mean, shows like Ted Lasso now where it's like, okay, for men to cry. I mean, that's a fairly big thing lately. You know, you think about it, we're 2020 or 2023, and it's now like, for some people, okay for men to cry publicly, you know, like big progress, you know, we're still got a long ways to go to fully express. And people need those safe spaces and people need those, that connection to truly develop further, you know. And I think kink offers a map, a roadmap on how to do this. But as you said at the beginning, it is something a lot of people do instinctually about going on a hike. But weirdly enough, on interpersonal relationships, it's more like trying to just conquer a mountain than it is. There's a difference between going on a hike, which you talked about, and that's how kink is. And some people are like, I'm going to conquer this mountain. And it's like the mountain is almost inanimate. It's just a thing to be conquered, you know? And that seems to be the old idea. And we have to get back. We have to get to the let's go on a hike more than let's climb a mountain.
Yeah, I think that there's so many issues in society that could be averted through conversation.
Yeah.
Right. And I think when you look at school curriculums and all the different things that are being taught, why the hell isn't just conversation, communication skills? Why is that not a, you know, a component that runs throughout your schooling time? You know, it just every aspect of communication. So communicating with friends, communicating with a loved one, communicating with your parents, learning how to communicate in the workplace. Just all the different types of communication. There's, you know, there was a few years back you were hearing about, they were talking about consent in schools, which is fine. But talk about just communication as a whole. Because it's not just, hey, can I, you know, suck on your breast? Mm-hmm. You know, can I, you know, hug you? Can I? No, it's just like, hey, you know, what do you like? You know, what kind of communication style do you enjoy? Right? Do you want, you know, I know we're just starting dating. So, hey, do you want to keep the conversation light, or do you mind in-depth questions? And like, you know, like, just break it down for people. And then once people know how to communicate, you won't get, like, I think a lot of kind of just hate crimes and things like that. Agreed. They won't be gone just because we're humans, right? But they won't be as bad, because people will be like, oh, instead of calling that person a name, why don't I just ask them about, hey, I see you're holding that book and you've got that mat. What does that mean? What's that to do with your religion? I don't get it. And you're like, okay, well, yeah, you know, five times a day we turn the mat and we pray to, you know what I mean? And you'd be like, oh, okay. You know, and it's just conversation instead of going, look at that weird person. You know what I mean? And
we're tribal. We're tribal by nature. And what we're really trying to do is expand the tribe to include all humans. I've often thought if the aliens arrived or Mars, suddenly it'd be one harmonious family of humans all working together. Suddenly there'd be world peace among humans in a day. We'd unify and have to fight the little green men. You know, tribes form because they want to protect whatever interests, they want to enforce whatever rules and manipulate the people in the tribe. The tribal leaders want to manipulate the people in the tribe. And, you know, what happens as nations grow is they expand the definition of what's allowed in our tribe. And, okay, if you're educated, you're allowed in our tribe. Or if you have money, you're allowed in your tribe. You know, in the old days, it was a lot about race. And now it's more about money. You know, like, okay, you're rich, you're in our tribe. We don't care about anything. You know, it's like, tribalism forms around whatever it forms around, but it's always us against them, you know, and it's unfortunate. I would love to see, and I think it will bode well in the future, if people will give people the space to talk about why they do the things, or not judge them and ask, like, okay, why do you, why, what's the significance of turning the rug or the carpet five times? Like, why do you, what is that? Why, you know, please, I'm curious, you know, like, why certain people do the rosary? Like, what, you know, why is there's some beauty in a lot of these things as well. And you just have to find out what it's all about, rather than going, oh, you're weird because you're saying Hail Mary all the time, you know? It's just giving people that space. There's a concept called the Overton window, which is sort of what's allowed in any given society, any given time. And the most interesting thing about the Overton window is it has been more open and has been more closed to what's acceptable in any given culture and society. So it's completely basically arbitrary. It just kind of opens or closes depending on what's going on in the conversation. And our current one is almost becoming like two Overton windows. There's like an Overton window which are being allowed to talk about on one political end and another, and they're not even overlapping anymore, which is a little scary.
Yeah, that is a big thing. One thing I was very curious about with this was, how did you create the trust for the amount of access that you had got?
Well, the dominatrix I first met vouched for me, basically. It's a community that you need to be vouched for. You need that trust. It's a community that has a longstanding tradition of not outing anybody. So once you're in and somebody vouches for you, it was all the doors opened. I was genuinely surprised by the openness that I'd had. Like one person that wanted to do their interview, you know, without revealing their identity because they were a national security person in the American government. You know, that was it. That was the only, and, you know, that person probably wouldn't have done any interview anyway. So it's about trust. And that's why it's important for me and that, you know, people feel that I didn't violate the trust. And I was very careful about getting people's permission and consent about everything. Because it is just about trust and building on that trust. And one thing leads to another. I ended up interviewing over 150 people that bared their souls to me.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, 7 years to do the damn thing. Mm. So, a year and a half of filming and then COVID and everything else. But yeah.
Yeah. How did you work out like the narrative of the story so you knew what interviews you're going to use and what elements to leave? When did all of that become clear to you?
It really was just a question of you know, when I started with 100 or so interviews, I followed up on people, and then maybe 25 of those that's had something happen. Then I followed up on those, and maybe 5 of those that had something happen. So I basically just made the main narrative around people that had something happen to them through the thing. Or one lady had problems with the police, and you know, another person you could sort of see their relationship with their dom, and another person who was like curious about kink and wasn't really sure what, you know, they were just things that had the natural arc. Mm. So as I filmed and as it went forward, the ones that had more of a story were the ones that were kept in. There was more of an arc. So,
okay. That way. Yeah. You mentioned the trouble with the police, because that was amusing. That was amusing because, Goddess, was it Evil Lynn? Evil Lynn, right? She lived where I grew up. And when she said that, I was like, oh god damn, yeah, I remember hearing about that. So I was just like, oh shit, okay, yeah, I remember that a few years back.
yeah it was, I mean, she was weirdly enough one of the, I think the interviews on the first day I'd met her, and then it was like months later that this happened. I think I made two or three trips to England. It was one of the more interesting stories that happened.
I did, because there was a couple of, I think at least a couple of the conversations where I think sometimes we make like an assumption that, oh, this is when it's just like, but we don't necessarily have to tell people everything, right? Because I think when she was talking, she's just like, oh, I couldn't believe everyone in the neighborhood was, you know, turning on me. But just before she said that, she was like, well, I mean, I rented out the house to a porn company for a porn shoot. And it's just like, well, yeah. You know what I mean? If you come home and they're shooting a porno, you might think, hold on, I've got my kids. I don't really want to.
That was inside. I think there was a bit of drama bit that was shot outside the set. But
No. But the people would think that, right? That's the sure. Assumption you would be like, oh, my kids around a bird and you're shooting porno. Like the fact it's not actually happening outside the house and no one's actually going to see anything. But like the thought of that happening next door to you isn't always going to be the most appealing.
Sure.
So it's a bit like, I think if you were going to do that, you'd have to do it in a way where no one's going to know what that thing is. You know what I mean? So it's just like, yeah, you think if I'm going to do this and people find out, they're not going to be happy. So it's just like, I mean, I can see why people weren't necessarily happy with that. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And then
I tried to be just honest about what happens. I mean, it's probably apparent that I think Kink's good, but I also, tried to be honest about what happens, take it the way they want to take it, you know?
No, I think that's the interesting thing. Just let people talk, right? And you can get that viewpoint of what they're saying. Because I was interested in Cupcake because he was talking about his relationship with his mum. And the fact his mum didn't really want to talk about what he did, like his preference on the kink side of things. And it was curious because I'm just a bit like, does she need to, though?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because it's like
for him, it was like, you know, if he'd come out as gay to his mother, she would have been cool with that. Does she need to know that either? But his sexual identity was, you know, to be a submissive man, to be a slave to a dominatrix. That was his, you know, for him, it was.
Okay, so there you go. Now, yes, I do realize things ended rather abruptly. There was issues with the whole recording of this, which was a pain in the ass. It is the issues of Zoom at times. That's why I do not use it. But we did try and finish things off. But again, those recording gremlins got in the way. So, you know, unfortunately, yeah, it ends like that. There was more, right? I think Todd did understand what I was trying to, you know, break down, you know what I mean? So we covered a lot, but I think what is there is still interesting. So I hope you enjoyed it. You know, I think if you're fans of things like Louis Theroux, that this kind of documentary will definitely be intriguing to you. So, sounds like, Todd has sorted out some distribution, so you should be able to catch it somewhere near you at some time soon. So, follow the links on the website if you want to know, right? And thanks for stopping by, people. Hope you've checked out the other coverage we have of the festival so far. There is more to come, definitely tomorrow. Keep an eye out. And Echo Chamber proper, right? That's been dropping every week, and we cover a lot. Man, there was a lot this week. What did we look at? We looked at House Party, the 2023 version, The Artifice Girl, They Clone Tyrone, Cross of Iron, Rub, and A Little Bear's Big Trip. So a lot to look at, people, and enjoy. So until next time, people, peace.